Hi, Allie.
Hello.
Started in a second. All right, we're getting started in a second.
Okay.
Okay, let's get going. We're holding the last line of the narrow lines on Saturday from the days, so six lines from the end. The Mishnah had discussed the question, what are the circumstances under which a husband can divorce his wife? The Shammai saying that only if you find Erev HaSadavar, only if she's behaving in an unsneezed fashion. The Hillel says even if Yisra Tavshila, if she ruined his food, or the various possibilities we talked about what that meant. The Bakiva says even if you find somebody who's more attracted to. Incidentally, I forgot to mention yesterday, the Torah Tzmimah has an interesting take on that. He says, you know, some, sort of similar to the way we had in Soita, that Rabbi Yosef really had said that a person, Yorei Barach Aleva, a fearful person who's entitled to go home from war, is somebody who is afraid of the Avedis that he has. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef really says, the Torah didn't want any soldier who goes home from the wars, automatically everybody's going to know that he was a Baal Avedis, so therefore the Torah also made a Chosen goes home, and a person who built a new house goes home, etc. That way, it's covered, helps cover for him.
I mean, Avedis, Erevas.
No, Baal Avedis in general. The Gemara said over there, actually, we learned over there that the Yerushalmi says even a person talks between Shoyad, and actually, I think the Bavli said it, even a person talks between Shoyad and Shorosh, that's considered that kind of Aveda, that a person would have to be afraid in wartime. Anyway, the point is,
That
the Mishnah tells us. That Rabbi Yosef really says in the Mishnah that the reason was in order to cover up for the Baal Avedis. This way, that when a person is going home from war, you don't know that it was one of the Baal Avedis. You think maybe he built a new house or what have you. Similarly, over here in our Mishnah, if we went like the Shammai, that the only valid reason to divorce a woman is Kimatza Ba'Ervas Gavar, automatically, when a woman is divorced, everybody's going to be talking, you know, she must have been acting improperly. Mashenkin, when we have this Hillel opinion, and Rabbi Akiva's opinion, that there's other grounds, then when a woman is divorced, people are not going to necessarily talk against her. They're going to say, okay, according to the Hillel, they'll say, fine, maybe she's not a very good cook. Or according to Rabbi Akiva, they'll say nothing wrong with her at all. Just, you know, her husband wasn't attracted to her anymore. Anyway.
And she can get remarried,
right. Okay. Okay, so the Mishnah, the Gemara starts out. There's a few psukim in Sefer Malachi, the last of the Treyasa, that deal with the problem of, there were two related problems over there, intermarriage and divorce. There was a situation over there, the Jews had come back to rebuild Eretz Yisrael, to rebuild the second Mishnah, to rebuild Yerushalayim, and there were a lot of them, not a lot, relatively, there were 100-odd of them, the Pasuk mentions, who found their wives no longer attractive with all the hardships of coming back to Eretz Yisrael and rebuilding and everything, their wives had become unattractive to them. So some of them started taking Goyisha wives. Some of them, at the beginning of the second Mishnah. So Malachi, the Navi Malachi, is screaming at them for this. So the positive is, in the course of his nevuah, he says a line, Kisone Shalach, because hated is sending. So what does that mean? Rabbi Huda Im Sanesa Shalach. Rabbi Huda says it means, like Rabbi Akiva, if you hate your wife, send her away. In other words, like Rabbi Akiva saying, Im Lemotza Chain Beinav, that's a valid reason to divorce her. Hello? Rabbi Yechonin says, on the contrary, it means somebody who sends his wife away without a valid reason is hateful to the Eibishter. And the Gemara says, Leitzligi, it's actually not really a machloikis. Each of them agrees with the other, because Havazug Rish and Havazug Shady. It depends whether you're talking about a first marriage or a second marriage. When we say, Rashi brings over here, on Rabbi Yechonin's opinion, two different gusais. One is the gusa that we have over here, Sonari Am Shalaya, somebody who sends away, who divorces his wife without a valid reason, is Sonari, is hateful to the Eibishter. Then Rashi brings a first, a different gear to in snua, he was now mocking. If she is hateful before the Eibishter, shalach, then send her away. Which is like the Shammai. If she is kisone shalach. All the prophet says is because hate send away. So what does that mean? So again, Rabbi Yehuda saying it means if you hate her, like they said, like Rabbi Akiva says, in lemotza chen ve'inav. Rabbi Yochanan is saying, sonary. So again, if we have the gifts of im snur he lefnei makom shlach, then that would be like the Shammai. Only if what she's doing is hateful to the Eibishter, namely that she's acting in with divrei erva, then send her away. The other gifts, which is the gifts that we have over here, is with sonary hamashalayach, that even according to Basilo, where we're talking, if he goes and divorces them, halacha may be like them that you're allowed to, but nevertheless, sonei am shaleach, somebody who sends away his wife for something like that, because if yichat apshilo is not a good thing. So the like Rabbi Yehuda Zug Rishon, Rabbi Zug Sheni. One's talking about Rabbi Yehuda, who says in Sanes Shalach, if you hate her for any reason, then feel free to send her away. That is talking about Zivug Sheni. That's talking about second marriage. Rabbi Yochanan, who's saying that you have to control yourself. Don't send her away unless there's Erev HaSadavar, or don't send her, or even if you send her away because of the Kishat HaPshilai, it's no good. That would be talking about a first marriage. Because it actually points out, the Sukkim over there are actually talking primarily about a first marriage. Eishes Nerudecha is the expression in the Pasuk over there. So, and also we learned at the beginning of Sotah that a Zivug Rishon is the one who's bashtimt, who's bashert to the person 40 days before he's conceived or whatever. Whereas a Zivug Sheni depends on the husband and wife's respective maisim. So a second Zivug, okay, it doesn't work out, then fine. You know, it means that there's an incompatibility as far as their maisim or whatever. Whereas the first Zivug, don't be so quick to do that. To Amar Rav Elazar, this fits with what Rav Elazar says. Call him a garish ishtu rishoni. If somebody divorces his first wife, after the mizbeach married all of Demos, even the mizbeach sheds tears for him. We're going to quote a pasuk that mentions the mizbeach, but why after the mizbeach shed? What does the mizbeach have to do with it? A few different interesting explanations Mefarshim give. Marsha relates it to the idea we learned back in Sota that a husband and wife have a fire in them. Isha is ish yud. So therefore, and the Mizbeach is what has the fire of Hashem on it. So when there's a breakup of a marriage like that for no good reason, then even the Mizbeach, which has the fire of Hashem on it, cries that that fire has now been removed from the world.
What's the difference?
Well, back in Sota, we learned actually that we have all over in Siddur to talk about the difference between the Yud and the Hay, but in Sota, actually, we learned over there that it means the woman's fire is in a way more intense than the man's, because the letters of H actually come together over there and then comes the Hay. Whereas with the man, you have the letter Yud separating them. Anyway, Masha also says in Sanhedrin, because this Gemara is also in Sanhedrin, he gives a different explanation as well, which is, practically speaking, the Mizbeach benefits when there's a husband and wife happily married, because then every so often she has children, and then she has to bring a korban afterwards. She may occasionally become a Zava and also have to bring a korban. Like this, if the marriage breaks up, then the Mizbeach loses out. The oil of Ephraim, which is one of the Kli Yakers for him, brings an interesting work about it. He says, if you look in the parashah of the Tomid that we say every day, Sabbath B'nai Yisrael B'Amart Aleim, the parashah of the Tomid, you have every letter of the Aleph phase and they accept Gimel and Tes, representing the idea of the Mizbeach, which spells out the word Get, representing the idea of the Mizbeach and the Korbanos on it can't tolerate Gizim. Did ever explain in a Sicha what we say every day, the parashah of the Tomid, that we say in Korbanos. The Rebbe once explained in Sicha, in a hadron from a Sefer Gittin, parts of which are in the Kutta Sichas, that the Vort is also the Mizbeach. The idea is, the Gemara explains elsewhere, I think it was in Ksubas, that the Mizbeach accomplishes great things for the Jewish people, and the last of them is Mechaper. So, like, even when the Jewish people still have Averis, first it's Meziach, Mezin, etc., it provides sustenance and all. Later on comes the Kapara. So like this, when you have a husband and wife can't get along, where like they're unlike the Eibishter who's willing to tolerate the Jewish people and their Averis until they're ready for their Kapara, and meanwhile give them good, this husband and wife can't manage that, then the Mizbeach cries for them. For the fact that here my job is to bring about that there should be the opposite of that, and here it couldn't happen. The Pasuk says, the Zois Shenis Tassu, this is the second thing that you're doing. Previously, the Pesukim are talking about the problem of intermarriage. Previously, also talking about that they're bringing in unfit animals on the Mizbeach. One or the other of those things is considered the first thing. Different proportion talk about. Here's the second thing that you're doing. Tassois Dima Mizbeach Hashem. You're covering the Mizbeach of Hashem with tears. The simple meaning of all the Mefarshim say on the Pasuk is the Jewish women would come crying around the Mizbeach. How are you talking that our husbands are abandoning us for Goyish women? But here, we're talking about the first Zivug. That's what we're going to say. Beis HaEishes Nerudecha. But the point is, the Gemara is darshaning it that the Mizbeach itself is crying. Sometimes it would be they divorced their wives, and because the Goyish wife wouldn't want to be a tzara. Sometimes they would marry another. The Pasuk actually mentions both. There's one, they're saying that kisonei shalach, Eibishter hates when you send your wife away, like we just said. There's another one that you're betraying your wife by taking another one. with tears and moaning, till you reach the point that the Eibishter is no longer turning to your offerings, or to take any willing korbanos from your hand. But Amarta also continues, but Amarta Malmo, so you say, why doesn't the Eibishter want to accept our korbanos? The reason is, because the Eibishter is testifying about what's going on between you and the wife of your youth. So we see we're talking about the wife of your youth, your first wife. As that, and that's when the Mizbech is crying. Asherat Bagataba, that you have betrayed her. And she's not your friend and the wife of your covenant. You should be extra careful. The pasuk continues. The Rashi quotes the rest of the pasuk. And the shmartim beruchachem. You have to be very careful with your spirit and not betray, especially the wife of your youth, the first wife. Yeah, that's what we're saying. So if it's Erev Zavah, that's different. But we're talking about it. Hadron alacham agarish slichalom slichalom asepligivin. So the Rebbe explained in the Rebbe once explained in this hadron. There's an interruption. Your test chavav. That I've talked about at great length, the fact, so you see, our Masechta, the whole Masechta talks about all the dinim of Gittin, all the ins and outs of Gittin. Right. All of a sudden, so the whole Masechta, we've been talking about the ins and outs, the practicalities of giving a get. All of a sudden comes now the last Mishnah and starts off, lo yigarish al b'masishtei, that a person should not be divorcing his wife. It's like, what, we're undoing everything we did in the Masechta? So and you see also the last words of our Masechta is also showing how the whole idea of Gerushin shouldn't even begin to exist. He chaver to chaver eshes b'risecha is the very last words of the year. She's your friend and the wife of your youth. That should be on the first page, right? So the Rebbe explains the idea is where does the whole idea of divorce between a husband and wife come from? Well, what happens down here reflects what's happening l'mayla between us and the Eivishter. So there is, to a certain extent, there's the idea that in Golos we're at least seemingly divorced from the Eibishter, and they're actually psukim to that imply as much. But the real true purpose of it, after all, what's the hekesh that we've been learning about throughout the Masechta, and that we're going to also learn about in a minute in Kiddushin, is the famous hekesh v'yotza v'hoisa, that she goes out, she gets divorced, in order to get remarried, v'hoisa. In fact, that's what Rambam says. That's the reason why does Kiddushin come after Gittin? On the face of it, Kiddushin is the first thing, Kiddushin is the last, Gittin is the last thing. Because the idea is that Gittin leads to Kiddushin, as in the pasuk, v'yotza v'hoisa.
The marriage in a way?
So in a way, it's like a new beginning. So therefore, you have, unfortunately, there can be the idea of Gerushin between us and the Eibishter, and therefore it's Mishalshul down here between a husband and wife as well. But really, the deeper purpose of it all is to recognize that after all, lo yigarash adam es ishto, there should not be this divorce, that v'hi chaver t'chaver eshes v'nisecha, that really there is that undying connection between us and the Eibishter, which by rights should be that way, therefore, between a couple as well, between a human couple as well. And therefore, that brings us to Kiddushin, Harisha Nifnes, B'Shalosh Drachim, that from the temporary separation of the get comes an even closer connection that we have with the Eibishter than before. As the Rebbe also talks about in that Hadron, that of all things, why is it, when you think about what the Masechta begins with, we look back when we started learning Gittin 3 months ago, what did we start with? Hamei v'get mim dinas hayah. Why out of all of the dinim in Gittin are we starting with that Favor for Nadin about bringing a guest from Medina Sayyam and having to say Bufana Nefta, Bufana Nefta? The reason is that I've explained because it reflects the idea. How does there come to be the possibility of Gerushin, again, both on the interpersonal level and between and what it's nostalgia from between us and the Eibishter, because there's such a thing as a Medina Sayyam, there's such a thing as a place where seemingly we're the Eibishter is on one side of the ocean and we're on the other. There seems to be a certain separation between us and the Eibishter. Nevertheless, the person comes and declares, "B'fonai nechta, b'fonai nechta," that everything is happening still in the Eibishter's presence, and therefore there's no true divorce between us and the Eibishter ever, after all. And therefore, that brings us to the end of the Masechta, "Lo yigarash al b'masishtei, ki chaver t'chav eishes b'risecha," that the ultimate is that we end up seeing that the Gerushin, the seeming Gerushin, is not really a Gerushin after all, and we come to the closer connection of Masechta Kiddushin. If not for the get,
before. It's not the option of a get.
Oh, that's interesting.
People wouldn't get married.
Interesting. I never heard that. Okay, where's that from?
I don't know.
Interesting.
If they knew they could not give a get,
if a person knew that they couldn't get out of a marriage, then they would never get into it in the first place. Interesting. Okay. Lahoyer also, I like to when we finish a masechta and start another one, I'm always keeping track of how many masechtas have we gone through thus far in our cycle of Daf Yomi. Well, this masechta that we just learned, Gittin, is the 19th masechta that we've been learning in this year, and now we're coming to the 20th masechta, which is Kedushin. What does 19 symbolize? Well, as it happens, actually, we're right now in the 19th year of a 19-year cycle of a Machzor Katan, and that everyone's talked about in a sikha, what's the deeper idea behind the Machzor Katan, the fact that you have the solar year, the Eibishter could have created, after all, the solar year and the lunar year have equal length, and you would never need an Ibriyar. Like this, we have to have an Ibriyar 7 times in 19 years, and sometimes one is ahead, and sometimes the other is ahead, and finally, after 19 years, we reconcile them. Because that's what life is all about. That sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind, sometimes you're doing better in your avodah, sometimes you're having a harder time of it. But eventually you get that reconciliation after 19 years. So I think we might, this year happens to be the last year of such a Machzor Katan. Okay. This year we're reconciling, and now we start the whole thing all over again. So therefore 19, we can say, I think, maybe represents what Masechta Gittin is all about, this temporary separation that eventually leads to that reconciliation. And that brings us to Masechta Kedushin, the 20th Masechta, which we'll be learning. What's 20? Anybody who's learned a couple of pages of Chassidus has come across the association between 20 and Keter. There's a letter, the word Keter begins with a Chof, the word Keter itself has the same gematria as the word Esrim. And what are the Keter, a surrounding thing, a Sovev, the cave of the Sovev Geter? So the Milo that we'll see, Limosa Mashiach, that we see a glimmering of even now of the advantage of the Nekeva over the Zohar, and how she becomes the Soviv and the Makif and there's what encompasses the Zohar and brings out the real potential that he has, which is actually one of the deeper reasons it's brought in the Zohar why Kiddushin, when we start talking about Kiddushin, why Kiddushin of all things are done with a ring, which is a surrounding thing, a makif. No, it hasn't always been. We'll learn in the Gemara, in fact, as we go through, where we actually had in the last couple of blocks, we had various things that Kiddushin was done with. But eventually, the minhag developed to do it with a ring. There's a few reasons. When we get to Kiddushin, when we start in a few minutes, Masechta Kiddushin, I'll mention a few reasons. I'll see halacha as well, why it's a good thing to use a ring. But a deeper reason of the Kabbalah is this idea that a ring is a makif. What do they use?
Coin.
Interesting. Okay.
It's also around.
Well, but it's not something that surrounds, though. Okay.
Get the ring.
Interesting. Okay. Well, yeah. It could be more. It usually more than a person, but yeah. Okay. Shall we call in some people, do the hadron, and then start tradition? Yeah, maybe that's a better idea. Fine. We'll leave the Hadron then for a little bit, and we'll start learning Kedushin then. Okay. Yeah, that's a better idea. Okay.
Yeah, you can do that? Oh.
There's at least one of them over here, so I have one to say to Hadron come afterwards. The Masechta Kedushin, Kishmoy Kehu, it's pretty much exactly what it sounds like. It's going to be talking about all the ins and outs of the dinim of Kedushin. As we go through it, we're going to see, though, it's one of the more lumdishim Masechtas. It has a lot of other interesting and deep topics in it as well. First of all, Or Perek, the Perek that we're going to be starting now itself, takes a path to Masechta. Each in its own way. But for example, in our Masechta, besides for Kedushin, since Kedushin is a kind of kinyan, we're going to be talking about many of the general dinim of kinyanim, many of the things which we would expect to find more in Seder Nezikin, we're going to find in our Masechta about the basic dinim of how you make kinyan. We're going to have a lot of talk in the second paragraph about the dinim of shlichus, which we already have touched on quite a bit in Gittin. Further on in our paragraph, we have the whole concept of, we're going to have a long sugya, including some interesting agadta about the dinim of kibud av v'eim. We're going to have a lot of discussion about the mitzvahs that pollutes for Eretz, the mitzvahs that depend on Eretz Yisrael versus the mitzvahs that are chovas aguf that have to be kept everywhere, the mitzvahs of men versus women. And then further on in the Masechta, we also have among the various other things later in the Masechta, is there's going to be various more dinim to supplement the ones that we learned about in Yevamos about who's allowed to marry who and what's the dinim of children from different marriages. Marriages between different classes, shall we say, of Jews. And then at the very end of the Masechta, when we finish it, in Ear time, as Hashem will have, at the very end of it, we'll have a long discussion about the dinim of Yehud. So in a nutshell, that's what we have to look forward to in the Masechta. Mishnah starts off, Ha'isha niknis v'shalash drachim, a woman can be acquired in marriage in any of three ways. And she can acquire herself back, meaning she becomes independent from her husband in any of two ways. She can be acquired in marriage with money, or shava kesef, which, as the mission is going to point out in a second, so either money or something that has monetary value. Vishtar, with a document, which means a document you just write out on a document, harayat mechudeshesli, or through bia. No, the document itself doesn't, that's the point, right. If the document itself is worth something, that's kesef, right. So you have even a document on a piece of paper, which is worth a lot less than a pruta, but she accepts it, then that's considered a valid condition. Or the bia is you do bia with her and you tell her that you're going to be tshadish to me with this bia, which we'll learn later on. He tells her beforehand. He goes into Yichud with her in the presence of Edim, because all kinds of kedushin, as we'll learn as we go through the next few blocks, all kinds of kedushin require Edim. So in this case, he has Edim Yichud. He has Edim that he's going into Yichud with her and saying, "We're going to be doing Bia, and I'm going to be Mekadosh her with that." And he says to her, "Skab shivi the Bia zu," and that's it. Now, we're going to learn later on, when we get the Dafyadalaki Beis or so, that you're not allowed to do that, that in fact the person can get Makas Maudis for that. But nevertheless, it is a valid method of Kedushin. Maybe. Some deeper ideas behind it, by the way, Bala Turim points out that we Jewish people, since we, as we were just saying, that the marriage between husband and wife reflects what goes on between us and the Eidishter, we had all three with the Eidishter. We had Kesef, the money that the Eivishter gave us when we came out of Mitzrayim, all the Egyptians' wealth. We had the Shtar of the Torah, and we had Bia, which is the closeness that we had with the Eivishter in the Mishkan.
When we entered the Israel.
That's already like we're going to live in the house. Also, there's brought in a number of places in Siddus that these three ways represent the three avodas of the others. Kesef represents Avraham Avinu, because Kesef also is Melosh and Love, Nichsef Nichfafti. Shtar represents Yitzchak, who represents the power of Torah, because what's the connection between the, because the ram that was brought on the Mizbeach and on Har HaMoriah, instead of Yitzchak, the shofar from that was used as the shofar by Matan Torah. So that creates an association between Yitzchak and Matan Torah. And Bia represents Yaakov because Mitzvah Shleimer. That's Shah. And Bia represents Yaakov because he's the only one who had Mitzvah Shleimer. He's the only one that all his Bias with his wives all produced kosher children as opposed to Avraham and Yitzchak. It also, the Rebbe once talked about the idea, nowadays the only valid method that anybody uses of Kedushin is Kesef. Nobody does Kedushin with Shtar, and Kedusha Bia is anyway also. Representing the idea that the primary way that we relate to the Eivishter nowadays, the primary form of Avodah, is Ava. It's Ava Hashem.
Because Shtar,
it's not like Shtar couldn't be done, but practically speaking, nobody does it. And Bia, we're going to learn later, is also Midrabanan.
Shtar is what? Gura?
No, not necessarily. No, I don't know. Well, maybe, because if it represents Yitzchak, maybe it is supposed to be Gura. But, yeah. And then Kesef would be Ava, Shtar I guess would be Gvura, and Bia, I don't know, Das maybe, yeah, maybe, I don't know. Yeah. Actually, that everyone talked about in Asticha as well, the Rogachover has a bit of a discussion. When we say Kedushim are done with Kesef, what is it? Which is the cause and which is the effect? Is it she is koina the keset, and by that she's machna herself in marriage, or is it the other way around? She's machna herself, and by that she's koina the pruta, or the shava pruta, or whatever. It comes up later on when we start learning in the Gemara where exactly we learn the concept of Kedusha Kesef from. We're going to have two different limudim for it, so those reflect these two different possibilities. That I've explained, in Avoda, it also represents the question of, in Kedushin, when you get down to it, when a man is Mekadosh a woman, two things are accomplished. Number one, she becomes his. Number two, she's also to everybody else. As we'll learn on other days, she becomes also like Hekish. That's the thing. So which one, you could also argue which one is the cause and which one is the effect, kind of. It depends. It's related to this idea. So therefore, it's also related to, so in Avoda, you have the Ava that a person has to the Eibishter, and then there's the fact that a person is motivated to keep away from, Ra. Sumer Ava Seichar. Which one comes first? Does the Ava come first? That would represent the Avodah. That would reflect the possibility that the Rogatrava mentions, that maybe she's clearing the Pruta, and by that she's Machna herself to the husband. As opposed to the other way around, if you say that maybe you first develop the Surmer Ava Seichov, and from that you come to an Ava of the Eibishter, that would reflect the idea the other way around, that maybe that she's Machna herself, and thereby she's clearing the Pruta.
Don't explain the way Surmer Ava using. Star of
I mean, Golos Mitzrayim is before the Erusin even. Golos Mitzrayim, to put it in terms that the Navi Yechezkel uses in his mashal, is like the baby is abandoned, or the woman, the young woman, whatever, is abandoned out in the field with nobody to take care of her, and then forever Eliyah, I pass by and I see you wallowing in your blood, and I take you for my wife, etc., etc. But no, the initial Kedushin, usually we talk about the... Usually we talk about that the initial Kedushin is by Matan Torah, but again, according to what the Bala Torah says, you actually have the Kesef going back to when we came out of Mitzrayim, where already we're given the wealth of Mitzrayim. Niknis the Kesef v'shtar v'biyah, okay, we said that. The Kesef, how much money do you need? V'shama ima b'dinner v'shava dinner, so V'shama says it has to be a dinner or something the equivalent in value of a dinner. The Sillo says a pruta or something the value of a pruta. The kamei pruta, so how much is actually a pruta? Echad b'shmoyne b'isar italki. It's 1/8 of an Italian Easter. Later on, your days, the Gemara is going to make a whole calculation how we know the value of a pruta. Tosfos has a bit of a long discussion over here, how b'chlal we know. If we're going to learn in the Gemara that you have to use kesef for kedushin, where b'chlal do we get the logic that you should be able to use shava kesef? Tosfos brings various lemudim for it. Other rishonim say you don't even need that. In most places, you can assume when the Torah says kesef, automatically includes shava kesef as well, unless specified otherwise. So in this case, shava kesef it can't be land, for example. But generally, when we say shava kesef, it means metalkalin. To the value of generally the things that are excluded for most purposes, and we'll learn later on as we go through it, but usually the things that are excluded for that purpose are land, avodim, because they're compared to land in the Torah, and shtaros, because a shtar itself does not have value, it's what's written in the shtar that has value. Incidentally, that reminds me, actually, when we were talking a few minutes ago about doing kedushin with coins, which you say Misfardim do. So why Taka and most of the rest of the Jewish world do they use a ring? The one interesting reason is based on the fact that Mordechai discusses the question, what would happen, based on a Gemara and Baba Basra? If you were to do Kedushin with a coin, conceivably the woman might have in mind not so much the actual physical value of the metal on the coin, but rather the value that's stamped on the coin, the denomination that's stamped on the coin. Well, the difference is that the denomination may become worthless. If you have, for example, a new government takes over and all the coins of the previous government are now disqualified for use, then that stamping on the coin has no more value anymore. Now the coin is just worth the value of the metal on it.
End of value.
Yeah. So.
No,
we're talking about at the time. No, even okay, we're talking after Kedushin. We're talking shortly after. Yeah. So the Mordechai doesn't say that it's possible for that reason. The fact is, I mean, you do have there is a minhag Yisrael by the Syrians to use a coin, so obviously it's not like
it.
What? So in principle, it shouldn't matter if it's silver anyway, right, because it definitely has more than the value of a pruta. But there is the possibility that maybe her das is on the tsura rather than on the metallic value of the coin. So one reason why we use a ring that the gadka doesn't have any design on it, not even any engraving, is because of that, because you don't want to have that she's thinking about the value of the design or the engraving or what have you, rather than of the actual value of it itself. Another interesting reason that's given, by the way, by Mefarshim, by the Pariskim, why to use a ring is we learned back in Ksubis, and we've learned here and there since then, that there's such a thing that property that a woman brings into the marriage becomes either nichset klein barzel, that her husband actually takes ownership of and he reimburses her for it later, or nichset blod, where he gets the payrus of it. Conceivably, the money that he gives her for kedushin, if he gives her actual money, is going to be the same kind of thing. It's going to be nifsim lug. He's going to get the payrus, she's going to own the guf. Do we want that necessarily? Again, what if she has in mind the full value of it, guf and payrus, and like this, he's starting to get the payrus. You give her a ring, which she herself wears, that's something he's not entitled to any payrus of. He's not entitled to any payrus, we learned back in Ksubas, of anything that she herself wears. So you give her a ring, and that way you avoid that potential issue.
Well, what happens if she goes out one day, sells the ring.
What about it?
It's worth $100.
Okay, so the fact is, Kedushin was already done with it. Fine. I mean, it's hers. She can do whatever she wants with it.
What about the money?
The Vashta, sir. I see what you mean. Okay.
What is it?
Well, okay, I don't know. Actually, that's a good point. I don't know. Maybe that money would be considered nichsim lug, but maybe not. I don't know. I mean, well, I don't know. Okay. So, Pruta, okay. Tosis points out, by the way, why doesn't the Mishnah ask, according to Beis Shammai, how much of the dinner? Tosfos has two reasons. First of all, everybody knew how much a dinner is. A pruta may be varied in value at different times, as we'll learn later on in the day. The dinner was pretty much stable. Second of all, the halacha is not like with Shama anyway, so we don't need to know how much a dinner is.
Okay.
When Mashiach comes, then we'll deal with it then. The koinah satsma begetta of Mrs. Abal, continues the Mishnah, a woman can acquire herself back, meaning that she becomes independent of her husband by getting a get or by her husband dying. Next, Hayavama nicknes with Bia. A Yavama gets acquired by her Yavam with Bia, because as we learned back in Yavamas, even Midrabanan, he's supposed to do Maimer, he's supposed to do Kedushin with her, but that does not fully make a Kenyan, Midaraisa, only Bia does. The Karnas Hasma, the Chalitza of Mrs. Hayavam, and she acquires herself. She becomes independent of him, not fully independent, and she's able to marry whoever she wants, basically, yes. The Chalitza of Mrs. Hayavam, via Chalitza or the Yavam dying. Now, the Gemara, the first part of the Gemara that we're going to have over here, from here until the first two dots on Gimel Amud Beis, Vein Tavarach Akarsa, Reb Shuda Gaon and a couple of the other Gaonim tell us that whole piece of the Gemara was not actually originally from Ravina and Ravashi. It was actually added by the Rabbanan Sivaroi. So it's going to be a very... from here until Gimel Amud Beis, yeah. So, yeah. And it's a very interesting piece because it's a bit unusual for the Gemara that's actually going word by word through the Mishnah, or not the whole Mishnah, but the first part of the Mishnah, and analyzing why the Mishnah uses this word and not a different word. It's an unusual piece of Gemara. Gemara starts off, Haishin Niknis. Maishna Hacha the Tani Haishin Niknis. Why is it that in our Mishnah it starts off with saying Haisha, that the woman is acquired? Why is it in the second parak the Tani Ha'ish Mekadosh? The second parak begins, a man is Mekadosh via him or his shliach. It should have started here also. Ha'ish koine b'sholosh drachim, let's say, yeah. The answer is, Mishum z'chabar l'misnik keses, because the first one that the Mishnah is going to list is Kinyan, is Kedushin via kesef, via money. The kesef menole, and how do you know Kedusha kesef themselves? How b'chal do you know that that's a valid Kedushin? Because you learn it by Zeta Shava from the word or the verb kicha that's used in connection with Ephraim's field, the Maris Machpelah, namely Ksivach Kiyikas Kishisha. One pasuk says when a man takes a woman using the Shodesh Lokas, or Ksivach and Nafatikas Vasarakach Mimeni, Avraham tells Ephraim, I've given, or I'd rather I gave already, because this is before he actually gave it, but I want already to have given the money of the field, and you take it from me. But therefore, that establishes a zeta shava between marriage and the buying of today Ephraim. The kicha is kinyan, and in turn, kicha is a word that is used in the sense of kinyan, in the sense of buying something. Just because later on, pasuk continues, I saw the Ashakana Avraham, the field that Avraham bought.
Wait a minute, we didn't answer the question.
Right. So we have because we haven't gotten to the end of it yet. The point is that the point is since basically what the Gemara is going to say is like this: where are we learning the concept of buying, of acquiring a woman with kiddushin? Is from buying Sdei Efron. There, the field was passive. Avraham is the active partner. So therefore, therefore niknes in the passive form. Therefore, also when it comes to ha'isha, it's also niknes in the passive form rather than ha'ish koina. Rather than because the Gemara is asking why. Sorry. The first question was why are we using the word kinyan rather than the word kiddushin? The reason is because the word kinyan better reflects where we're learning kesef from.
But why are we using Aisha instead of
Aisha? That's the next thing. First, the Gemara is dealing with things in stages. First, we're dealing with why over there in the second paragraph it uses the verb makadish and here it uses the verb nikneis. The reason is because we want to create an association between kesef and kinyan. Inami, or another source we have for the idea that money makes a kinyan, sadis v'kesef yitnu, a pasuk from Yirmiyah, that the field, they'll buy fields with money. This is a part of a nevuah that the Eibusha tells him, that the Eibusha has told him, it's part of his atzara of Bahar, the Eibusha has told him, buy a field from your cousin Hanamel. Afterwards, Yirmiyahu does it. Afterwards, he davens to the Eibusha Haytochen. The Babylonians are about to conquer the whole Eretz Yisrael. Everything's going to be destroyed. Why am I bothering to buy a field? The Eibusha gives him a long nevuah. The upshot of it is, eventually, the Jewish people are going to return to Eretz Yisrael. There will be a gerula, and yes, they will be buying and selling fields in Eretz Yisrael again.
So
in other words, the Eibusha is telling him, you buying this field and keep and making sure that the document of sale will last for a long time. The Eibusha tells him, put it in a clay pot so it'll last a long time. That'll be a simon that there will yet be fields bought and sold by Jews in Eretz Israel.
Who did you say that to?
The Eibusha tells you, yes. So Sodis v'Kesef Yiknu, they will buy fields with money. So again, we see an association between Kesef and Kinyan.
Well, we need two proofs. One is enough, isn't it? Avraham's
Tosfos asks that. Tosfos says because if you just had based on Hasadah Shekhan Avraham, you could say it doesn't necessarily mean that he bought it with money. He gave money to Ephraim. That in and of itself didn't make the kinyan. Afterwards, he needed chazaka or a shtar or what have you. The pasuk doesn't explicitly say that he bought it with money. You have to make the equation. No, we know he paid 400 shekel, but just like, put it this way, just like with metalphalin. We know the din is if Reuven pays Shimon from the Talfalim, he hasn't yet been coined to them, so he makes some kind of kinyan, which actually we will learn later in this paragraph about the details of that. Well, how do we know with real estate that the same thing is not true? Maybe Avraham gives Ephraim the money. He's not yet coined to the field until he actually goes and does a chazaka on it of some kind. We got the shtat or whatever. So the pasuk Hasadah Shekhan Avraham by itself is not enough to tell us that he was coined with the money. Sodas, Bakesef Yiknu, where it actually says Bakesef Yiknu, that makes it clear, yeah.
So then we should have started by studying Bakesef Yiknu.
Because that's a pasuk from Nevi'im. We would rather bring a pasuk from the Torah if at all possible.
Aren't you learning from the boy?
No. I mean, it's before Mount Torah also, but fine. I mean, Avraham is still making the kinyan.
Now we're getting it.
Yeah. Therefore, Tonya Ishin Niknis. Therefore,
that's why I'm bringing the second one.
Yeah, well, that's the point. Each one has an advantage over the other. Therefore, Taniya Isha Niknes, therefore the Mishnah wants to use the verb Niknes rather than the verb Miskadesh or Miskadesh.
Still, we want to know why it's not
That's the next thing. Incidentally, Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch has in his commentary on Chumash, on that parasha of Avraham buying the field from Ephraim, he points out about this Zera Shava of Tisha Tisha, and he says, you have people who always make fun of Halacha in this way. A Jew buys his bride, buys his Kala, he says, when you buy something, it's all the more precious to you. How do we express that the Eidrishter has certain precious things in his world that he bought them? Because you know the Eidrishter doesn't have to buy anything from anybody. So therefore, yeah, Ha'ish Niknes. Sigma says, V'nisni Hosam Ha'ish Koine. Fine, in that case, why doesn't the second paragraph also begin with Ha'ish Koine? Why use the word Mekadish? No, we're not yet getting to why Ha'ish versus Ha'isha. That's the next question. First, we're getting to, if you're saying that it's important to use the word kinyan in our perek, why is it important to use it in the second perek? Why do we switch to Mekadesh? The answer is, Me'ikra Tani Lishna Deraisa, L'Vasayif Tani Lishna Derabanan. Because first, the Mishnah is telling us, according to the Lashon of the Torah, where you use the word kinyan, and later on, it's using the Lashon of the Rabbanan, the concept, the word kiddushin, you never find any such thing in the Torah. So that's the Lashon of a Chachamim. And Umay Lishin the Rabbanan, what does that Lishin the Rabbanan add to the Kinyan? It adds the Asalah Kula Alma Kehekdish. It adds the detail that by doing Kedushin, you're doing two things. You're being cleaning yourself a wife, but you're also being the Kaddish her in the sense that she becomes also to everybody else as if she was Hekdish.
So that's
the thing. It's two things. There's two aspects to Kedushin. Number one, that she's Machne herself, that she now becomes, so to speak, the property of her husband. And number two, that she's Mekudesh, that she's now off limits to everybody else.
Can't you say that of any kingdom? When you buy land, when you buy a house?
No, but it's yours, but you have the right to lend it out. You have the right to you can lend, you can rent out your house, you can invite in guests or whatever.
But
here not.
That's right.
Here not. Next, v'nisni hacha ha'ish koine. Fine, now we get to the ha'ish versus ha'isha. Fine, why does an R perek? Fine, we wanted to use the word koine, we wanted to use the verb kinyan. Why not start out ha'ish koine, a man acquires? The reason is, mishum dekabayim l'misni seif of a koine as asma b'didah, because the next part of the Mishnah needs to be able to continue that the woman is koine herself, that she reacquires herself, she becomes independent via get or mrs. Abal. So therefore the Reisha also had to talk about from her point of view. Nikmis. Okay. Next, V'nisni ha'ish koine umakne. Fine, then the Mishnah could have made the man the active partner in both. Say, ha'ish koine v'shalosh yachim umakne, and he's makne herself, back to herself, in two ways. The reason is, Mishum de'isim, this is about v'lava yukam makne, because one of the two ways is that he died. He's not being makne anything. Min shvayu hudukam makne lo. The Eveshter is making it that she's reacquiring herself. The Ibar Yisema, or another possibility, itonek koine, because if the Mishnah had started out ho'ish koine, have aminatu l'bar kocha, then you would think maybe kedushin are valid even bar kocha. Maybe even if the woman doesn't agree to the kedushin, it should be valid. Ho'ish koine, he has the one who's able to cause the kinyan to happen. Tana ho'ish niknis. Therefore the Mishnah says ho'ish niknis, meaning the midaita ein shalai midaita loy, which means it has to be with her das. And in fact, the Gemara in Baba Basra actually discusses the question about whether Kiddushin can be done by a kocha of a woman. Actually, Rav Ashi says over there an interesting thing. He says, Midar Aisa, it is valid. Midrabbanan, the Rabbanan didn't allow such a thing, and therefore, if a person is Mitavish, a woman, against her will, then you have the famous Afkein Rabbanan, the Kiddushin, that the Chachamim undo the Kiddushin and make it as if it never happened, a concept which we've had before in Gittin and in Yevamos and in various other places. But that's our mission. It's saying Ha'isha Niknis is telling us that Takanas Chachamim, then that the woman cannot be Niskadish against her will. Next. Okay, so that takes care of the Ha'isha and the Niknis. Now we understand why it had to say Ha'isha and not Ha'ish, and why it had to say Niknis and not Koine and not Niskadeshes and not any such thing. Next. Umay Iri Zitani Sholosh, Lifni Shlosha. The Mishnah had said Ha'isha Niknis was Sholosh Drachim. You know, Hebrew, as most people over here probably know, that in Hebrew, numbers, the gender of numbers is backwards of how you'd expect. Most verbs and nouns and whatnot in Hebrew, when they're Loshon Nekeva, have a comma and a hey at the end. Numbers are the other way around. The number Shloisha, for example, is masculine. Sholosh is the feminine form. Same thing with Arba and Arba, etc. So, why does the Mishnah use Shalosh, the feminine form? It should say Shloisha, which is the masculine form. Why should it? Tosfos says, because usually, Kala Torah Kula B'Loshem Zachar Nemra. The default in the Torah, in Torah Loshem, the default is usually the male. It's usually the masculine form. And most mitzvahs, for example, are phrased as Dabar of B'nai Yisrael. By some of them, we have a limud that means B'nai Yisrael, but B'nai Yisrael, as we'll learn later, as we'll learn much later on in the Perek in another month or so. But even when it's not, usually the default is Lashon Zachar. So why don't we say Shloisha, which is Lashon Zachar? The reason is Mishum Dekaboy L'Misni Derech, because what is it? Shloish Drachim, three ways. But Derech, Lashon Nekeva, when the word Derech is feminine. Dichtiv, V'hoidai T'Lehem, Esa Derech Yeh Chubba. As Yisrael tells Moshe, you should inform them of the way in which of the way that they should go in it. But it's feminine. So we see that Derech is a feminine word. What about then? That's going to be later on, further down on the Amud. The Gemara is going to ask why we use the word derech rather than dover or some such thing. Wait, relax. I mean, these kinds of questions already you can see that Abban and Sivardoy have already thought of. The Elah HaDetanya, fine. What are you going to do with what it says at a Braisa? It's actually really a Mishnah. The Shiva Jerachim Bodkin HaZov, the Mishnah says that a Zov has to be tested for seven possibilities. We learned this at the end of Nazir. A Zov, unlike a Zava, where a woman becomes a Zava no matter what the cause of the flow, as long as it's not during her 7 days of Nidah, with a Zav, he only becomes, the first time he becomes a Zav, that he has an emission of Ziva, fine, he becomes Tomei no matter what, he's like a Balkeri. The second time, we have to check seven possible causes that there might have been. He overate, he drank too much, he was sick, he carried a heavy burden, etc. Seven different things, where if the Ziva happened because of any of them, he's not Tomei as a Zav. Then he's just considered like another Balkeri. Only if it was Zoyve Machnas Besorev, or Machnas Dava Acher, it's called, that a Ziva was only because of something within his body, something within outside of the seven reasons, something that I'm right that Ziva is basically some kind of disease of that part of the body, of the genital, of the genital area or whatever. So only if it's because of that, and not because of any of these seven reasons, would he then become a Zov. So the Mishnah says, B'Shiva Jerachim Bodkin as a Zov. Shiva is Lashon Zachar, because again, feminine would be Sheva. Nisni Sheva. So again, by your logic of Bashloy Bashalish Drachim, say the Sheva Drachim. The reason is Mishum the Kabbal Misni Derech. There the reason is because you have the noun that goes with it is Derech, it's a way, Drachim, Tashkachan Derech, Ikul Lashon Zachar. And we find the word Derech can be used in the masculine, in the masculine form. The Pasuk says when the Jewish people are following what the Eivishter wants, the brachas and parshas kisavo, you'll go out. They, your enemies, will come out against you on one road to attack as one united front. And they'll escape from you in seven different ways. Like they'll panic and they'll flee in all directions.
Is
nekeva. Shiva drachim is direct. The shalosh is feminine and shiva is masculine.
Right.
So in that case, don't you have a stira in the psukim? What is derech masculine or feminine in gender? But kashinami masnisin adavi, and you also have, why are the mishnayos inconsistent? Why is our mishnah using shalosh, the feminine form, and the mishnah in zavim is using shiva, the masculine form? Yeah. The answer is kroy adori like kashin. The psukim are not contradictory because hocha de b'torah koi, because the pasuk by Yisro in parshas Yisro is talking about the Torah when he says you should tell them, you should instruct them the way on which they should go. What's the way? The way of Torah. The Torah is kulosh in the keva, and the Torah is spoken of in the feminine gender. The Torah Hashem tmima meshivas nafesh. The Torah of Hashem is wholesome, is complete. It restores the soul. Tmima and meshivas are both in feminine form. Therefore, cause of love, Lashon Nekeva. Therefore, the positive phrase is it in Lashon Nekeva. Es haderech yehu ba. Hasam de memochamakoi, in Parshat Kisavo, it's talking about war. The goyim are going to come against you to war, but then they're going to scatter in all directions. The darkish shall ish lasis mochama, vein darkish shall ish lasis mochama. Only men normally go to war, women do not. Therefore, cause of love, Lashon Zachar. Therefore, it writes it in masculine form, b'shiva drachim. An interesting relevance of this in Yonah D'Yoma, this coming Shabbos is Parshas Zachar. There is the Sefer Achinuch has the opinion, and I think also the Magen Avraham holds that this. We always know the famous thing that women are chayiv in Parshas Zachar, and every year they make Uli Minyanim, that they should be able to hear it. The Chinuch, and I think also the Magen Avraham writes that actually they're not, because what's the whole reason behind the mitzvah of Zachar is to go and fight against them. Well, if ain't darker shalish alafis mochama, if women don't go to war anyway, why should they be chayiv in the mitzvah of Zachar? But nevertheless, the accepted halacha is not like that opinion. The accepted halacha is they are chayim. Because that they can do. They can do the wiping out of the memory of Amalek. Yeah, they can't do that. Besides which, also other Mephoshim point out anyway that what are you talking about? We learned in Sota that Mechemes Mitzvah, even by Mechemes Chayva, whatever that Mechemes the Eivishter requires you to do, even Chosin and Mechedra, Kala Mechopasa, even Chosin and Kala go out. So others counter that it doesn't mean the cow actually goes to war, it just means that she serves behind the lines, repairing the roads and whatnot, civil service or whatever, still not necessarily going to war. Why not? Macha Emcha means getting rid of any vestige of the memory of Amalek. Women can do that as well as men.
It's not Macha Timcha,
but fine. Like Torah specific, come up Torah Kula, Beloshen Zachar member. Usually the Torah phrases mitzvahs in a masculine gender, but they usually apply to both genders unless otherwise stated. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. But the Muhammad is done by men. Okay. Next, so that takes care of the psukim. Masnissin adodi lakashya, the Mishnayas, our Mishnah and the one in Zavim, are also not contradictory, because hacha de lagabi yishakoi, here we're talking about a woman, her shenikne. Therefore, katani lavalash in the kaiva, therefore, uses the feminine form. Hasan de lagabi ishkoi, in Masech Zavim, it's talking about a man, the darkish of ishli bodik, may darkish of ishli bodik, because only a man has to get tested to see if his divorce is because of some external factor. Women do not. A woman becomes a zava regardless whether it was because of an external factor or not. Because a woman can become tamed by ziva even if it was ba'onis. Therefore, tani lashon zachar. Therefore, it uses a masculine form b'shiva zrachim. Next, my time at tani shalosh. So, what are you telling me? Why in our Mishnah it's using the word shalosh, the feminine form b'shum zrachim? Ultimately, you're saying it's because you want to use the word zrachim with it. And we said the word zrachim, the word derech, is one of those words that can be in feminine, that can be in feminine gender. By the way, Tosis points out that these aren't the only ones. Tosis points out that there's quite a lot of words in Tanakh and also in Mishnayos that you find in both masculine and feminine gender. Tosis even quotes sometimes in the same pasuk it changes gender. Yod shlucha elai, shlucha is feminine. V'hinei bay, and in it, which is lots of zacher, migilas sefer, a pasuk from Yechezkel. Hamachne ha'achas, Yaakov says, I'm afraid that Esav is going to come to one camp. Ha'achas is feminine, but he kohu and strike it, which is Lashon Zachar. Okay. Anyway. So Tosafot says, okay, usually you can say, fine, it's just that's how language is. Where it's possible to find a reason, then you try to find a reason, like we did here with Derech. So we're saying, why is it saying Sholosh Mishum Drachim? Fine, Nisti Dvorim V'Lisni Shloisha. Don't say Drachim. Let the Mishnah say, Ha'isha Nifnes B'Shloisha Dvorim. And then it can use masculine form, which is the usual, and use the word Dvorim. The reason is Mishum D'Kabari L'Misni Bia, because one of the things that it's going to mention is Kiddushin via Bia, who Bia Ikri Derech, and Bia can be called, is called, in the Pasuk, is called euphemistically a Derech. The Pasuk is the Derech Gever Bahama. Shlomo HaMelech is mentioning over there various things that, like, I don't understand how they work. One of them is v'derech gever ba'alva, the way of a young man with a young woman when they have relations. And he continues, kein derech yishev in ha'efes. That's the way that a woman who commits adultery acts, where she's mezana and then she claims I didn't do anything wrong. But no, the point is that the derech refers to having relations. So you have the kosher way, gever ba'alva, and then you have the yishev in ha'efes who does it in the improper way. You have to look in Sukkim. I'd have to look in the Mefarshim on Sukkim, what he's saying, like, I don't understand why there should be such things in the world, or I don't understand how somebody would have such chutz, but whatever. Anyway. So we see that Bia can be called Derech. Fine, Hatenach Bia. Fine, okay, Bia can be called Derech. Kesef or Shtar, Ma'ikalamema. What are you going to say for Kesef and Shtar? Why are we using the word Derech for them? We didn't mention Bia. Okay, because one of the three is Bia, so because you have to use Derech for Bia, therefore we're using it all. Tony Tarki Otu Chada. So what? So what? Because we're one out of three, or you're changing the lashon for two of them because of one? That's a Tanach Nami. Sodach Bia Ninu. Because what's the purpose behind Kesef and Shtar? Ultimately, they're supposed to lead to Bia. Kedushin is eventually going to lead to Bia. In fact, we're going to have later on in the third parak. We're going to have a machlokas Abaya and Rava. What if you have Kedushin Shalomim Zerul Bia? What if you have a case of Kedushin where, for one reason or another, it's impossible that any Bia will ever result from it? Are there even considered valid Kedushin? And Halacha is there not. So Kedushin are supposed to lead to Bia. Therefore, Bia can be considered like the most important out of the three of them. No, I didn't dive in yet, so we'll wrap it here. And, yeah.